Welcome back, Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor. Really pleased to have with me once again Dr. Quentin Henning. He's here today to talk about Lion One Metals. That's a company for which Quentin is a technical advisor. Lion One Metals trades in Toronto under the symbol LIO. You can buy it down here in the States, as I have, under the symbol LOMLF. 156.4 million shares. It's trading at $1.07 today in U.S. money, giving the U.S. market cap around $167 million. Thanks for joining us again, Quentin.
Yeah, Jay, a pleasure. Great story to talk about today.
Oh, it's a great story to talk about on a dismal day, and the shares are not being appreciated as much as they should be because who knows why people are selling. They have to pay off the margin clerk, and she's calling for the margin or whatever. But, you know, these are the kind of days when I think if people have some cash, they want to start really starting to understand the stories so they know which ones to put their money into best when things turn around. So I guess I'd like to start out by asking you if you can comment on the June 6th news release, which was just mind-blowing. It was absolutely phenomenal, one of the best, I've seen a lot of good ones, but this one is really good. And just tell us what it means on the Tuvato project.
Yeah, look, we, as people know, we've been testing for the root or feeder part to this system. We actually had a very robust drill hole back in 2020. It was in late July of 2020. During the pandemic, you know, the company was drilling in spite of the pandemic. We were still able to operate there. And look, we've been drilling since that time, which that hit, I think, was 12.7 meters of 56 grams, if I remember right.
Yeah.
We've been drilling holes down into this newly discovered 500 zone very routinely. In fact, we put out announcements over the past couple of years with many, many drill results down in that part of the system. It's basically a zone comprised of several structures. It's not just one structure, but it's a complex net of structures that underlies the main Tuvatu system, the main Tuvatu resource. And, you know, we've persisted testing this thing both down dip and along strike. And we encountered this new zone or this new part of the 500 zone in hole TUG-141. It's an absolutely remarkable result. If you think of this system as like a tree in which you have lots of small branches that kind of collect downwards into bigger and bigger branches, and then you finally reach the trunk. That's the best way to describe the Tuvatu gold system. And it's kind of like drilling a tree from the top down. The existing resource at Tuvatu is comprised of many, many smaller lodes. When I say smaller, these things are usually a meter to 3 meter wide. They can be very high grade. They're often, you know, around 10 grams or even higher in grade. We've actually been drilling infill holes in some of that part of the system here recently that show just consistently robust grades. You know, these branches, they come together. And that hip we had 2 years ago, that was an example of we'll call it a bigger branch, you know, 12.7 meters of 56 grams. But this hit is just over the top. It's basically 21 grams per ton gold over 76 meters.
Incredible.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, it's an order of magnitude bigger and it's bigger than anything we've seen to date at Tuvatu.
Mm-hmm. These things, alkaline deposits, as you've identified, this one goes very, very deep. How deep are they so far into these real high grades?
Yeah. So this intercept, this was about 443 meters down hole, but this is an underground hole. TUG stands for, you know, Tuvatu. UG stands for underground. UG.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was drilled from an underground platform. There's a decline that goes down into the Tuvatu system, and we put drill cutties or drill stations inside that decline from which we could drill to these deeper targets. So if you look at the true depth below surface, this intercept starts at about a little over 500 meters below surface.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, you say, well, that's fairly deep. It's not really. Okay. Alkaline systems like this, they can extend to quite, you know, deep depths. You can get alkaline systems going down a kilometer and a half or two very routinely. Uh-huh. Okay, so these systems are deep rooted. They're related to, you know, these gold rich magmas that that basically they cool and crystallize somewhere down below the surface, and the fluids that came off of those magmas get flushed upwards as the magma crystallizes. Basically, it flushes all that gold out of the magma and into the fluids, which ascend upwards through cracks and fissures. And they like to find the biggest cracks they can. You know, this crack that we've hit, you can kind of make the analogy that this is like a superhighway, you know, compared to the other cracks that we've drilled so far. This is a major, major conduit. And it's probably deep-rooted. In other words, the gold in this will probably extend down for quite some distance. So we're very optimistic, you know, that we found a major trunk in the system. Now, you know, then the question becomes, you know, do we have just one trunk? You know, is there just one tree here? No, not likely. If you look at the distribution of gold at Tuvatu, this gold system is over 7 kilometers long on a strike. Right. Mm-hmm. There's no way on earth that this one feeder generated all the gold that we see at surface and surface samplings and stuff like that. So this is just one of what I think will probably prove to be multiple feeders. And at least now we know how these feeders occur and what they look like, and we can better target them. You know, using geophysics and stuff, we've learned what this feeder is, and we can go look for more of them. But in the meantime, this one feeder alone is just insane. I mean, this thing is truly a game changer for this deposit and the company.
Well, definitely. And I mean, I would just maybe should remind listeners that they did an economic study years ago on what you call those little limbs. But as I recall, Quentin, the average grade, the millhead grade, was something around maybe a half an ounce or maybe six-tenths of an ounce for that quote-unquote lower grade stuff?
It was actually lower than that. It was closer to 9 or 10 grams. Okay, so if you look at the initial economic study, which you said is a few years old, it was actually looking at narrower loads that were grading, you know, 8, 9, 10 grams per ton.
Yeah.
Correct.
But that 8, 9, 10 grams per ton would have taken dilution into effect so that the mining grade would have been somewhere in that range, perhaps?
That's what is anticipated, correct.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, yeah. So, I mean, as I recall, the operating economics at that stage, it was fairly, you know, small deposit, and now you're building up ounces. But even so, the economics were pretty good. And so if we're looking at something, you know, a magnitude higher grade, even though it's underground. And I guess because you have underground workings, you're able now to drill from underground. And I would suppose that as mining takes place and the company is planning to go into production on a small scale, I think, fairly soon, right? If that's the case, then they should be able to continue to drill from underground at deeper levels. Yeah,
that's correct. So yeah, that brings up some interesting question. I mean, this new discovery obviously is going to be a focus for the company. If they're going to develop a mine, you know, a modest scale mine, let's look at how we could bring this material in. As you said, this is considerably higher grade. You know, this is probably a little over twice the grade that we have seen in the upper parts of the system. So there's one big win. The other aspect is, you know, it's really not that far below the existing decline. So it might take a few months or a few, you know, 10, 15 months to get down, ramp down into this part of the system. It is doable in a small-scale mine. This is something we could tackle. Now, drilling it, yes, as you can imagine, this has generated a lot of excitement. And we have used the same drill that drilled this hole. We've oriented it to do an offset hole. To further test this high grade zone, so that hole, as I understand it, is underway now. But we're also going to keep testing this thing with some surface holes as well. So we got our surface rigs in play there, and because it is the dry season, it's relatively easy to position one of those rigs in a position it can drill some of these deep areas. So we're going to hit this thing hard here. I would expect that it will probably take a few weeks, maybe 2 to 4 weeks to get back down into this part of the system. But I think we're going to see some really impressive results out of this system now that we know kind of where it is and where it's headed.
So longer term than what are the plans for production? I think, are they still planning to, on a small scale, start producing from some of those higher up portion of the deposit?
That's correct. Infill drilling is well underway. That's needed to help refine that mine plan. Every facet of that project is underway, and the target is to be in production by late 2023. so that is entirely underway and moving forward on schedule. Now, really interesting, another aspect of this new discovery is it is within the permitted mine plan. So, this new discovery, it doesn't take any additional permitting or anything like that. We could modify the current plans for underground development and put a decline out, down into this area. So we're all over it right now.
Is management planning to put out some economics on this before it sets up a mill at all?
On the deep part, there's really just this drill hole now. It's going to take a few more drill holes to kind of start putting a picture together. Uh-huh. But I would say by late this year, I think we'll have enough drilling in here, including the drilling that's been done to date along the 500 zone, that we can start putting some numbers to this.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of excitement in the company and people that are following this closely because these alkaline deposits are huge, the ones that some of them in that part of the world, multi-million ounce high-grade deposits, and as I think you called them more rare than hen's teeth or something like that when you first told this story on the show. And when you find one, they're company makers, really. So
they are. They're highly desired by major mining companies, these alkaline gold systems, because they tend to be high grade, they tend to be very high margin, and they can deliver a lot of gold with a small tonnage. So this is yet another example. There's not all that many around the world. I don't want to make it sound like there's a zillion of these things. There's not. But the Porgera deposit in New Guinea, direct analog to this one. Vatukoula, which is on in Fiji, it's part of the same series of calderas. It's about 40 kilometers northeast of Tubatu, so there you have a 10-plus million-ounce system right next door. but we have systems, like this in Colorado here where I live. We have even up in Canada, the Kirkland Lake deposit, believe it or not, is an alkaline system. Mm-hmm. So these things, they're special. They generate very good returns, and they're, again, highly sought after by the mining industry.
All right, very good. I guess in terms of share price drivers, you need to just watch the news. There should be more drill results coming out, and pretty soon, I guess.
Correct. Yeah, I think you'll see some news about, the plan and strategy to tackle this going forward. And then as we drill those holes, the one from underground as well as one from surface, I think we'll have lots of news to talk about, further drill intercepts into this area.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Quentin, for giving us an update on this very exciting story. And we'll look forward to keeping up with it going forward.